Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Would you rather have $30,000 today, or would you rather have one penny on day one that doubles every day for 31 days? Now that's something to think about, isn't it? I think that most people, myself included, would probably say they'd want to take the $30,000 today and run with it. Have you ever wanted to know more about preserving your capital? Tell me, would you like to learn more about mutual funds? That's something that I don't understand, and I'm sure we'll hear about it today. Can you imagine cutting your expenses and keeping your spending under control? I can't imagine doing that, nor can my husband imagine me doing it. Have you ever heard about a book called 101 Principles to Wealth, Key Financial Secrets for Success, Planning, Investing, Saving, and Spending? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to invest, save, and spend your money wisely? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. He is a success coach extraordinaire, and he's been on the show before. He will provide us with wonderful information and some really, really great financial advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy the show. Now let me tell you about our guest today. He is the founder and president of Clearstream Advisors. He is extensively involved with financial investments planning and estate considerations for executives, entrepreneurs, athletes, retirees, and business entities. He has over 30 years of investment experience and has developed a proprietary absolute return strategy investment model called the Sharpe Method. He has taught investment risk management, option models, and consulted for other investment professionals, as well as institutional money managers with over $700 million in managed assets worldwide. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show again today, Charles Brokoff. Hi, Chuck. How are you doing?
Doing well, January. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. I'm so happy to have you on the show. We always look forward to your advice and financial success stories that you share with us. But first, before we go to that, let's talk about this $30,000 today that I would love to take and run with.
Well, that's it's interesting. It's a interesting question, and most people would take the $30,000 on day one. and be done with it. I've shared this with people, and people scratch their head. They said, "Can that be right?" And I've had a few say, "You know, I actually calculated it out. I didn't believe you. I didn't think it was possible to take a penny on day one and allow it to double for 31 days and have it be worth." Do you want to take a guess of what that doubling penny would be worth at the end of 31 days?
Well, if it starts off 30,000, probably maybe 100,000.
No, the penny that doubles every day for 31 days ends up being worth $10,737 and change. So $10 million, and people, they say, that can't be right. That can't be possible. It is, and I encourage people to calculate the illustration because it is very powerful.
Oh, yeah. And I guess most people say the 30,000. So now it's a surprise to me because my high guess was 100,000, but 10 million, I never would have come up with that. So what we're talking about here is the power of compounding, aren't we?
Correct. That's it. And that's the illustration that I try to show people. And conversely, show what happens when you take money out on day eight. So on day eight, the doubling penny is worth $1.28. And what most people do is they've got that $1.28 and they take a dollar out, for example. And then let's use that as an example and let that compound and double every year for the remainder of the 31 days. Mm-hmm. And taking that $1 out at the end of 31 days, the rest of that money, the 28 cents doubling, is worth $1,174,000.
Oh,
now, that's still a large sum, and doubling is unrealistic, but it shows you, again, the illustration of pulling money out early, what it does. You got a difference of 10.7 million versus 1.1 million. Very significant difference taking a dollar out on day eight.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, you have to stay the course when you're talking about compounding. It's very difficult for people to do that, though, isn't it?
It is. You know, one of the illustrations I used with somebody recently was if you want to be wealthy, the thing you have to do is not act wealthy and not spend wealthy for years and years, and you will be wealthy one day. But if you try to act wealthy and spend wealthy in the early years, it's going to hurt you and you're unlikely to become wealthy and reach the very goal that you claim you want to achieve.
Your book is a fantastic book and I've enjoyed reading it so much. Have you seen it already helping people since it's come out recently?
I have. And that's been one of the big rewards for me. People, that have come up to me and said, "Hey, I want to tell you, we're just implementing two of these principles right now in our household or as a couple. And boy, has it really changed some things we do or opened our eyes to the way we were doing some things. And we didn't have a handle on our finances and it created stress in our lives. And boy, just two or three of these principles are really helping us significantly. And that's just really rewarding."
Well, I can share that your book influenced us because we were on the verge of buying a new car. You know how sometimes you just go by a car lot and you kind of roam on and start looking? Well, we got into that situation and we almost bought a new car. And then we came home, sat down, talked about it, and did exactly what you suggested. When you're making a big, big and major investment, pull back and look at it very closely and carefully. And your book helped us do that. And we are keeping our Prius.
Well, congratulations. That's, I don't say it in the book, but it's kind of that waiting period before somebody can just go buy a gun. You know, there's the, a 3-day waiting period. Well, same thing here. Don't have an impulse, do something that can really hurt you financially. Step away, take your time. And wait at least a few days. And if it's a real significant purchase, I would say even wait longer because a lot of people do think about it certainly one of the illustrations I use and one of the principles I say is to look back over the last 3 years and identify several things you wish you hadn't purchased. And of course, everybody I've talked to says, boy, can I do that? I wish I had the money and didn't have that item sitting around or what have you.
And it's also important, no matter what age you are, to start some kind of an investment plan. On page 49 in your book, you give some fantastic examples of person number one, who's age 26, person number two, age 19, person number three, age 8 years old. And what a difference it when they invest early in life. And that's an important thing to teach our children, isn't it?
It really is. And that again goes along with the compounding, but that really helps when you start at an early age, because you have all those years for that interest and those earnings to work for you. And then the children of those children, so to speak, to work for you as an investment.
Yeah, and it's staggering, because you start off this page with the example of them investing $2,000 per year until they're 65 in an IRA. And the numbers are amazing, the difference of the money you accumulate the earlier you start. The 8-year-old accumulated $1.2 million, and the 26-year-old accumulated $800,000. So that is a big, big difference. I think that this is the kind of book that you need to consider giving as a gift if you have any young friends in your family, young people that you know, because this is the kind of thing they need to hear about this now while they're young, and it will really make a big difference. Don't you agree, Chuck?
Well, I do, and it's interesting because I've already had a couple people that have read it, and they've made a comment, and they say, boy, I wish I had read this or knew about this when I was young, you know, and now they're 40 or in their 50s, and they're saying, boy, if I had these principles when I was 18, what an opportunity that would have been.
You know, I showed it to my son-in-law, and he's got 9-year-old twins, and this has prompted him to start a fund for them and start putting into it on a yearly basis. And I think it's going to be such a wonderful surprise when it comes time for college.
It will be, yeah. If they're at that young age now at 9 and he can save regularly, he'll be well rewarded.
Your book has definitely impacted our family.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful to hear.
Now, let's talk a little bit about life insurance. So many people talk about their life insurance. And is life insurance a good investment these days?
Well, it is, in the sense that you're buying life insurance to protect an income stream and be there in the event something tragic happens, so that you have an income stream for your family and to take care of loved ones. So in that context, it is. In the context of an investment that you want to have capital in the future, it is generally not a good investment, not the best investment out there as far as a savings vehicle. A pure investment, no. What I generally tell people is get the insurance you need and buy as much insurance as you need for the number of years that you need it, typically term insurance, to insure your family if something happens and you don't have – your family doesn't have your income in the event something happens. But I'm very against – companies out there that come out with a life insurance plan for babies and advertise it kind of as a savings or investment plan. Those are typically don't work well, have very low rates of return. Why somebody would need to insure a child and insure their life is, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. You're really insuring the income, you know, the lost income if somebody were to die prematurely.
Right, yeah. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back with Chuck Brokoff, we're going to talk about mutual funds, annuities, and so many other questions that we have for him. Chuck is the author of 101 Principles to Wealth. We'll be right back.
Do you desire more control over your money and financial matters? Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokop. Order today.
Are you striving to find a job you love but don't know where to start? If so, you'll want to know about Career Esteem's Find a Great Job Fast program. Learn new ways of job searching and how to find the hidden jobs that aren't being advertised. You don't have to rely on job boards anymore. Shave weeks or months off your job search. Go to careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job to learn more. That's careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job. Contact Sherry Sambersky, careeresteem.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back, and my guest, Charles Brokop, is a contributing writer at Seeking Alpha on Index Strategies, was a guest speaker at the Global Indexing and ETF Conference, has appeared as a guest on various radio programs, and holds numerous board-level positions. And as you know, he has authored the book 101 Principles to Wealth. Chuck, tell us a little bit about annuities. I hear so much about that. What's your opinion of annuities?
Well, good question. I think it's an area that's misunderstood in the marketplace by a lot of people. I think there is a great place for annuities. First of all, an annuity is an insurance product that functions as an investment product as well for people. It's got really the two components, and there's a variety of annuities, but you know, the fixed annuities in which you know the interest rates you're going to get over the course of a period, I kind of favor those, because the annuities that have a fluctuating capacity, people have lost money in when the market's corrected. They have market exposure. People didn't really understand that and expect to have a loss in their life insurance or insurance product. But I think there's a place for them, but a small component of one's portfolio that you can put in there so you have a guaranteed payout. Some of them have a guaranteed payout through the end of your lifetime. So those are okay, a little bit of exposure, but more often than not, I found people have purchased and bought into annuities only for the investment aspect of it. They end up displeased with the returns that they've gotten, and they're locked up. There's a penalty to get out of them, typically early, before there's a full vesting period of 8 to 10 years. So my experience, most people have been disappointed by the having their money tied up, the low returns, lack of flexibility, and then there are high fees. I don't sell annuities. Typically, you know, people that do sell them get a high commission on them, and that commission is okay, but it should be disclosed. Often, it's not. So, those are the things. I think full disclosure is important. And if you're making a 5 to 8% commission on selling a financial product to somebody, they need to be aware that there's a good portion of that they're getting paid up front.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk a little bit about mutual funds, because this is something that a lot of people do not understand, myself included. And could you give us what is the difference between an open-end fund and a closed-end fund? What does that mean?
Good question. First of all, a mutual fund is, and it's often referred to as a 40 Act fund, because in 1940, it was part of the 1940 Security Act that allowed mutual funds to take place and allow individuals to invest, principally commingling their money to buy a group of securities, stocks and or bonds or other financial instruments. So the benefit that we have as individuals in buying into a managed mutual fund is that we go in and buy into the mutual fund, and there's a fee to do that, and there is a management fee for the fund. But we can own a basket of 100 stocks with $5,000, which otherwise would be very, very expensive to try to mitigate your risk and have that kind of diversification with $5,000. You would, even with a discount broker, you'd have so many trades and transactions that it would be cost prohibitive, and it would really hinder your returns. So that's the benefit of a mutual fund, that everyone can buy shares into the mutual fund, and then the fund does the management, the balancing of the number of stocks, the type of stocks, the bonds, and the various exposure. Now, so that's the framework of a mutual fund itself. Now, the difference between an open-end mutual fund and a closed-end fund, an open-end fund is one that is open to individuals or entities all the time. So if you want to put $10,000 into an open-end fund, every day they mark the value of that fund as a net asset value, or you'll see NAV often, and your $10,000 goes into that fund. Now the fund has $10,000 more in the fund to manage. A closed-end fund, generally when they start, they name the amount of money that they're going to raise, and they'll keep it open for maybe a period of 3 to 6 months. And they will raise $150 million if that's the ceiling. And once that closed-end fund raises that first $150 million or whatever number they establish initially, then the fund is closed to new investors. However, it trades on the stock exchange almost as a stock, even though it is a and you'll see CEF, which is stands for closed end fund. And then it trades, you can trade that closed end fund and buy or sell it just like you would a stock. And then you're part owner within that fund. But the fund never, the fund just manages that initial asset base. And then the people can trade in and out of it just like a stock.
Okay. That's a very good explanation, because I could understand it.
Good.
And I'm sure my listeners will appreciate your explaining some of these complex things to us. You talk about cutting expenses, and I love what you wrote about green dollars and red dollars. Could you share that with my listeners?
You bet. I mentally try to get people to earmark their money. In the sense of here's some money that you made. Now, I'm doing this with my 16-year-old daughter now. So, and she's grasping the concept pretty well, and really wants to save her red dollars, you know, and put those aside. Identification, whatever color you choose, it's not important, but to really look at the money that you have or your assets or what you're making, and differentiate the dollars that you're going to save and invest that are going to work for you, as opposed to the other color of the dollars that are going to be spent and work not necessarily against you, but they're going to be spent and they're used for your living expenses and your food and your power and consumption and those types of things. So obviously you want to utilize both colors well, trim the red dollars that are being expended, and then save those green dollars that are invested properly and growing for you.
Mm-hmm. And that is a good way to start getting control of your finances. And as far as cutting expenses, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. But when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about cutting expenses and what people can do to get ahead. We'll be right back with Chuck Brokoff.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm pleased to announce also that last week, Priceless Personalities became available at audible.com, and you can get it as a download for your iPhone or your iPad right there. Also, Tom Ingracias and Jared Kraminski, authors of One Door Closes, will be on the show later this month featuring one of their guests from one of their chapters from their wonderful book. Right now, we have another priceless personality visiting with us today, Charles Brokoff, the author of 101 Principles to Wealth. Chuck, could you share your website information and share with my listeners how they can get your fantastic book?
Well, you bet. Thanks, January. My website is clearstreamadvisors.com. And I've got an educational section on there for people to download a couple of white papers on the stock market, things of that nature. So a little bit of educational information, a little information to find out more about me if you care to. The book is on Amazon.com, and it's 101, the number 101, Principles to Wealth, right on Amazon. You can search that. I think is probably the easiest way to find it. And it should pull right up. And it's available both on paperback and Kindle as well.
Wonderful. Now, when I introduced you, I talked about SHARP, Absolute Return Strategy investment model that you have developed. Could you talk a little bit about that? And I know what the ARP stands for, Absolute Return Policy. What does the SH stand for?
Well, that's strategic high return.
Okay.
So it's and the model, the SHARP method, is really a method that I've developed over the years, and I'm implementing for some high net worth clients, some corporations and nonprofits. It's to generate a better rate of return on cash. I think it's no surprise to most people that money markets are now under 0.5% annually.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear just people saying, boy, I don't want to be in the stock market, but I would like to make a better return than less than 1%. And mm-hmm. how can I do that? So that's the method I've that I've come up with. It's similar to an insurance model. People, it allows them to be, have their own little insurance company in a sense, if you will.
Okay.
And, and make reasonable rates of return. So.
Okay. And if any listeners are interested in finding out more about that, you can contact Charles Brokoff at Clearstream Advisors, and he could go into that with you. Now, we were talking about cutting expenses. Okay. What's your suggestion for most people? What's the easiest way for them to start doing that?
Well, I think the easiest way, and often a mistake people make, is mm-hmm. they buy something on sale and they think they saved money. So that's the first mistake. I probably shouldn't start with what not to do, but that don't get caught in self-delusion that you're saving money by buying something because it's on sale. So you don't actually save money by spending it.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding. I've been doing
it
a
hold of
long
that.
Time.
I know I'm raining on your parade a little bit, January. But
it's probably going to be music to my husband's ears.
Oh yes, he'll love me. I'll expect him to buy me a beer next time I see him to tell him I saved him some money.
He will.
But seriously, I think that the one thing that people want to do is look at their top expenses, because by trimming your top expenses. You can do that often just as easy as saving a little bit of money and trimming expenses somewhere else. So we're already, spending money on various living expenses, whether it's our mortgage, our rent,
right.
Power, consumption, energy. And so try to identify your top three expenses and focus cutting two of those by 10%.
Okay.
And if you can do that throughout the course of the year, that's a reoccurring monthly expense that you're going to be able to take advantage of by addressing it one time. For example, maybe it's refinancing your mortgage if you're at a high rate,
mm-hmm.
or asking for a reduction on rent with a increased term length.
Mm-hmm.
Or the energy companies. I know. I'm based in Phoenix here, or Scottsdale. The power companies have different plans. You can choose to, get on a plan that has you pay more at the peak hours of the day,
sure.
and you pay basically half price at those evening times and up to noon. So you want to be using your wash machine and dryer, those high power consumption items, on those off-peak periods. So things like that. Those kind of things are some of the best ways that are already prevalent in your life, and you can address those and try to trim those expenses right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. And, we put in solar panels on our home, and that has just been amazing because our electric bill last month was $30.
Well, that's absolutely incredible. I don't know too many people with that kind of power bills. So things like that, that's a great example.
Oh, yeah.
Where you made an initial investment, but it pays off.
And the best part of the month is when the electric bill arrives. You should see my husband. He is so happy. He's always in a good mood on that day. And I've loved it because I've been able to keep the air conditioning going during the hot weather. And that has really impacted our monthly spending in a very positive way. What about reverse mortgages?
Well, I think reverse mortgages, again, need to be understood. You need to understand what you're getting. If you are in a home and it's really your main asset and you mm-hmm. want to stay in your home, you have significant equity in it, then I think reverse mortgages are okay.
Mm-hmm.
But for the right person, the right situation, provided you want to stay in there, try to stay in there the remainder of your life or a good portion, and you're up over maybe 70 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would do it in the 60s. I think I'd be more inclined to refinance the house
mm-hmm.
And take some money out in that regard. But it depends on the situation. And
sure.
So you really have to look at it. But I think as a general rule of thumb, you're over 70, you don't get too aggressive on the reverse mortgage. If your house is already paid off and you don't want to refinance, then that's a, you know, perhaps a good way to go.
Okay. Okay. Now, we already talked about shopping and spending, and I'm sad to report that we don't save money at sales. That's the bad news. Now, for the good news, Chuck, what are some ways to other ways to keep spending under control?
Well, I think one that is often overlooked is negotiating on major purchases.
Okay.
So, and it's easier. A lot of people say, well, I don't like that. It's uncomfortable. I don't like to haggle is the word that I've heard people talk about. But the importance is, you know, people will often put a lot of effort into going and buying something or working for months to buy something, and they won't take and put a little effort into negotiating, you know, perhaps 10, 15 minutes that could save them 5 or 10% on a purchase.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to look at that little balance in shopping and the things that can, you know, that we do buy, you can negotiate. And I think it's as simple as asking, you know, is this the best, is this the best price, or can I get a better price? You know, can you please help me get this down a little lower? And it's just often surprising what people come up with and say, well, oh yeah, there's a sale going on, or you know, offer something on a cell phone plan to you know, just even retail buying. Buying a bike, they'll throw something extra in. I had that happen. I said, well, if I buy the bike today, is there anything else you can do? And well, sure enough, we can throw in a water bottle and some some other thing. So, or can you give 5% off? And yeah, we can do that. And it's a simple question like that. So that's a great way to.
I love the way you phrase it. Is there anything else you can do? That is so sweet, because you're not really, it doesn't sound like you're haggling. You're just more curious about what they can do for you. The other thing I wanted to share with our listeners, and since I am part of the senior community, you can get senior discounts in so many places. All you need to do is just ask them if they do a senior discount. Also, that goes as well for military. If you're in the military, so many companies and stores and businesses offer military discounts, especially if you're active duty. Also, I recommend that everyone use their AARP discounts. So many restaurants offer an AARP discount, and that is something that's there and it's available, and some of our seniors may not be aware of it. So are there any other discounts you can think of, Chuck?
Those are the big ones, and it's wonderful to see our military rewarded and mm-hmm. recognized and provided a little bit of support there, both financially and morally. In the community. So,
I think so many businesses are happy to do it when they find out that they're active military.
Yeah. I think it's really nice to see. And it's certainly, I think, much better than it was even, 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a positive. So, yeah, I think there's many other ways. There's often coupons and discounts just by going to various restaurants, various retail locations, going to their website, or even just typing in their name and searching using that great Google tool and simply putting in coupon or discount and then this store that you're going to go to. And often you'll find on there's a little 10% off coupon or restaurants, many of them have a discount and a coupon on there, but they don't advertise it. So by doing a little effort and a little seeking and searching out, you can often save 10 to 15%.
And that really adds up. And also florists are very happy to do that when you're ordering online. Actually, ordering online anything you buy, they usually want a promo code or a promo coupon. So search the internet. That's really, really great advice, Chuck. We're going to take a break. And when we come back with Charles Brokaw, we're going to talk about the key questions you need to ask before you invest a dime in anything. These are the questions you need to know. We'll be right back.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope that all of you will become socially fit this year if you are not already. You know, we're visiting with Charles Brokaw, and he is the author of 101 Principles to Wealth that you can get at Amazon. And, you know, Chuck, we forgot to mention when we were talking about places to save money, you have a whole section in your book about going to the dollar store. And, you know, that's quite an experience. So many people walk right by the dollar stores, but there are great bargains to be had there, aren't there?
There are. And the thing I tried to point out there, of course, is you if you have not been in one, you go in and you say, well, I'm buying that anyhow, and I'm paying – you know, I'm paying $4 or $5 for that item. Things such as cards, greeting card, birthday cards, that type of thing. Two for a dollar. You can't beat it.
And they're quality cards. I mean, they really are. At our dollar store, they told me that the cards that they sell come from the major stores after they haven't sold them there. So they're really very good quality, definitely.
They really are. Most of the stuff in there is stuff that sat on a shelf too long and or the place went out of business. But it's a, you know, they're quality products, brand name items often. And, you know, if you're paying $4 or $5 for them somewhere else and you can just go in there and get it for a dollar, why wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. It's really something for people to consider. We just have about 3 more minutes. Could you just briefly go over a few key questions you need to ask before you invest a dime in anything?
You bet. I would love to, because I think that's one of the mistakes people make. They get so interested in investing, mm-hmm. they just go chasing things before asking some of the tough questions. Number one being, how much risk am I taking with my capital? Can I lose it all or even more than I invested?
Right.
Which is pretty rare that you can lose more than you invested, but you do need to understand you know, where you are investing the money. When will I get my money back? If I need to get it back, how can I get it back? So
that's a
it's often
one.
we're not talking really stock market where you can sell on an exchange. I'm talking more about the private investments and private investment community, which many people get asked to invest in various businesses. Mm-hmm. Even family and friends have great intentions, but hey, invest in my company. And and they're taking money. They don't even know when to return it to the investors. So that's, you know, the time frames need to be understood. What does the company do with my money? Mm-hmm. What are you going to use the money for? Are you going to invest it? And then do I own part of the company or is it a loan? Those types of things need to be understood. Do I have to pay a fee to invest?
Are there
any commissions or charges? And that's always a good one because those annuities, insurance products, what's the commission? How much of my money goes right into paying you? And in some of the mutual funds, there's a load fee. I'm very cautious on those. I don't think you should pay a big 5% fee to somebody up front to just have them manage the money. There's ongoing fees they have, so I'm against those load-end mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
How safe is my capital? Is it insured? Is the investment secured by an asset? And then what are tax consequences?
Well, that's a big one. You know, we could do a whole show on tax consequences, couldn't we?
Well, we could. That's a big one to keep your eye on the ball because many of us, one of our biggest expenditures is, of course, taxes. So it's a big expense for all of us. And I think we should pay our taxes, but don't pay any more than you are required. And, you
know, okay. And we've got 1 minute more for the last three.
Well, and are there any penalties assessed if I take my investment out early or I try to withdraw my money? As it with an IRA, an early withdrawal, you're penalized 10%.
Sure.
So you need to be aware of that. And many of the annuities, you're penalized. How does the value of my investment increase? Is it through interest, capital appreciation, or a combination of the two? And then if you're investing in a firm or company, am I investing with a reputable firm? Have they been in business? Have they done this before? What kind of business experience do they have if I'm going to put my money? And it's kind of the analogy that I like. My grandfather owned racehorses. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, you can bet the jockey, the horse, or the trainer. You know, and if you're lucky enough to have a good horse with a good jockey and a good trainer, you're probably going to come out all right. But you want to at least have a good one of those three be very, very good, and you got a shot at winning the race, right?
Oh, wonderful. You know, Chuck, your advice is always so great, and I learn so much whenever you're on the show, and I know my listeners do too. And thank you so much for visiting with us today, and we look forward to having you back again and again.
Well, thank you, January. My pleasure. Always enjoy it. Always enjoy sharing and talking with you.
Wonderful. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. Chuck has such great advice for all of us, and he delivers it in such a wonderful, enchanting way. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Chuck. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign up on my website, JanuaryJones.com, with your name and email, and you will get a free download. We love sharing our stories and our struggles and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, have some wine, cheese, and crackers and then start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Charles Brokoff. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Serantos.
Hi, Serantos here with January. Check out my new smooth R&B song called Back and Forth. 33% of profits for this song are going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Lately, I hear the melodies of sorrow. As the story unfolds, as the darkness draws near, my heart starts feeling solemn, and the cries
I hope you enjoyed my melody. Check out my other songs for free on my website at www.melogia.com.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.